We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Jorge, all indications are that you're in a close three-way fight in the Democratic primary with Brett Smiley and Michael Solomon. If you're the superior candidate, how come you haven't pulled away in this race?
So we're out there getting our message out every single day. We're growing by the day, and we're following all of the polls, and we're moving in opposite directions right now. You know, we're prepared for these last 19 days of the election, and we have a positive message that's resonating in every part of the city. And we're going to focus on creating jobs, improving our schools, and changing the culture at City Hall. And that's the message that we're conveying to every neighborhood. It's resonating, and we look forward to pulling this out in these next 19 days.
Most Latinos in Providence are Dominican Americans. You're a Guatemalan American. What percentage of the Latino vote do you expect to get? Do you expect that that is not an issue for Dominican Americans and that they'll favor you in this mayoral race?
That hasn't been an issue from the very beginning at all. So, you know, I heard those questions early on. Is it one community? But, you know, what we've always had here in Providence is a pan-Latino identity. You know, we're too small to be segregated out into one or another Latino group. There's always been a strong pan-Latino identity, and I plan to do very, very well within the Latino community. That's the base, and we're growing every single day, and I'm excited about the energy there.
Let's go to Scott.
Why have you had, I know it's a grubby business, but why have you had so much trouble raising money?
I'm not sure that I have. We've raised about $350,000 so far. You know, we have another 3 weeks to go, so we're more than on our way to meeting our budget. And we're excited by all the support that we've gotten in a lot of from a lot of different places here in the city, throughout the state, and frankly, throughout the country as well. So, you know, I'm excited. I said at the very beginning that it would take about $300,000 to win this race. We're well beyond that right now, and we have a strong team, and I'm excited about these last 19 days.
You say you don't want to go back. How would you rate Mayor Taveras' tenure as mayor of Providence?
I think that if you look at the first two years of his administration, I think you have to give it an absolute A. You know, he saved the city from bankruptcy, and he has to be given credit for that. In the last 2 years of his administration, you know, his time has been spent, frankly, you know, between running the city and also focused on the governor's race. So I would perhaps not say an A there, but you have to judge him on the whole, and I think that he's going to be judged very, very positively by history.
We see how taxes in Providence act as a disincentive for growing the economy. How would you overcome that?
So the only way to work our way out of the fiscal crisis that we find ourselves in the city, and also the only way that we're going to kickstart the economy, is by creating jobs. I released my plan for the Port of Providence to double our exports in the next 5 years. Other cities throughout the states have done that as well. If we do that here in Providence, that would create 1,500 new jobs. It's said that the Port of Providence is one of our most underutilized resources. They say it's like building the highway, but then using the highway only as a bike lane. That's how underutilized our deep water port here is in Providence, and I want to make sure we utilize it to its full capacity.
Wondering, the port is a working waterfront, and you support that above residential uses at the waterfront?
I do. I absolutely do, and I want that to be put to industrial use. I think that there's so much growth potential for our economy through the Port of Providence, one of only two deep water ports in all of New England. You know, let's make sure that we get the full capacity out of it.
One of the raps among insiders is that your campaign has been hurt by the absence of more experienced campaign people. How do you respond? Is that a correct criticism?
Well, I'm very proud of where we are on the campaign right now. So we have, you know, a campaign that's growing every single day. You know, we have community leaders that are supporting.
How do you know it's growing? What does your internal polling tell you?
Well, you can feel it and you can see it, and the polling's also bear that out. So, you know, we see it every day. New people that want to come and volunteer on the campaign, new people that say that they're supporting us, folks that perhaps were on the fence before, and now they're saying, you know, that they're fully on board. So you see it every single day of the campaign, and it's exciting to be a part of. We're building something special on the campaign, and that's a reflection of the kind of administration we're going to run.
You just said Mayor Taveras should be viewed positively by voters. One of his chief allies at City Hall is one of your opponents, City Council President Mike Solomon. He worked very closely with Taveras to bail the city out of that river of red ink that ran through the budget. So what criticism do you have of Solomon? Why shouldn't he continue the tradition that Taveras has installed at City Hall.
Well, there's a difference between being mayor and being city council president. You know, as mayor, you're effectively, you know, leading the agenda. And I commend the city council president for following Angel Taveras' agenda and for supporting his work. But, you know, at the same time, you know, there's a very real difference between Michael Solomon and I. I said from the very beginning of my campaign that I would not accept contributions from city employees. These days of your job depending on who you've made contributions to, those are the days of the past, and we can't go back to that. The past 12 years here in the city, the past three elections, they've been won by mayors who have refused contributions from city employees. I have done that, and I look to continue that established tradition. This is about continuing the progress that we've made as a city and not going backwards.
We're talking here with Providence mayoral candidate Jorge Elorza. Now, we know that if we ask Brett Smiley or Mike Solomon, they'll each tell us they're the best candidate to take on Buddy Cianci. Why do you say you're the best person to do that?
So, first of all, there's a stark contrast. You know, I've been a judge here in the city. I'm an accountant. You know, the rebuilding trust in local government has been, you know, a signature issue in my campaign. I know that ethics, transparency, and openness, all of that is paramount. And then politics-wise, the Latino community throughout the city, combined with East Side voters throughout the city, bringing together that coalition, that itself is just over 50% of the population. And so if I'm the Democratic nominee, just numbers-wise, it would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, for Buddy to overcome that. So I feel good about going against Buddy. The contrast is clear, and frankly, the demographics in the city and the changes we've had over the past several years certainly help.
Should the nightclubs on Federal Hill be better policed or even closed?
When I used to travel throughout the country and you know, people mentioned Rhode Island, they would know two things about us. They would know Newport, and they would know Federal Hill. Federal Hill should truly be one of the standout tourist attractions that we have here in the city and also throughout the state. But in recent years, Federal Hill has certainly lost its luster. And I'm looking forward to working with all of the merchants and all of the residents on Atwells Ave and Federal Hill to make sure that we restore Federal Hill to the place that it should be.
So if it can't control your patrons, do you shut the club down?
So we have to take a no-tolerance attitude and a zero-tolerance attitude with any restaurants that, you know, violate the zoning ordinance and bring in a DJ illegally. You know, there has to be no tolerance for that. And we have to make sure that Federal Hill continues to be a premier destination for folks throughout the city, throughout the region, and also a tourist attraction throughout the country.
How would you encourage more residential development in downtown Providence?
I've mentioned that I'm willing to work with any developer that wants to create more residential space or wants to invest here in Providence. TSAs, the tax stabilization agreements, they're one of the tools that the mayor has at his disposal. And I've mentioned that I'm willing to work with any developer so long as there are certain requirements of them, that there's a phase-in of the taxes. It can't just be a straight tax giveaway. And there has to be someone at City Hall that holds each of the developers accountable for any promises that they make. And so, you know, so many young people want to live here in Providence. They want to live as close as possible to the city center. We have a shortage of vacancies for residential space. And I would love to see residential apartments come into the Superman building. It would feed life to so many of the surrounding businesses. I want the arcade to grow and thrive, and it's important for the Superman building to be occupied for that piece.
Do you
of
support
it.
A public subsidy for redeveloping the Superman building?
So I'm willing to work with any developer on a tax stabilization agreement if the numbers work for them and the numbers work for the city. And then the last piece about developing the Superman building is that we also have Burnside Park right in the heart of downtown. You know, you could get dollar oysters in the summer. You could go to the food trucks, catch a concert in the park. I want this to be a lively place, and it'll certainly come alive if the Superman building is occupied.
Is the 195 Commission moving fast enough to try to rehabilitate that part of the city?
The truth about development is that has to be led by private industry. It's all dependent on whether or not there's interest by private developers. The onus is on them, but there's a lot that we could do at the city level to make sure that it's attractive for developers. I've said that, you know, first, I want there to be an innovation center, something that taps into the east and the west side of the river and helps us retain our young people. I've also mentioned that I want this to be a model for what the entire city would look like if we fully adopt pedestrian-friendly, bike-friendly, and public transportation policies. that's connected to the bus station and to the train station. I will say that the 195 Commission has not been as open to a public input as I would hope for it to be, but I want the public to be engaged from the very beginning, and I'll use my power as mayor to make sure that the public is included.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Providence Democratic mayoral candidate Jorge Alorza.
Thank you for having me.